To 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to start at verse number 14 through verse number 21. And as you heard me pray this morning, that Jackie Casemore came safely through her surgery. It was quite long, but in the hospital, and trust that today will be a better day for her, but be in prayer for her if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14. The Word of God says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." By the way, aren't you glad that Jesus not only died, but he rose again? We serve a risen Savior. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Go back to that first phrase of verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Keep your place there. I want to preach a message entitled "Ambassadors for Christ." Father, now we do thank you for the power of your word. I ask that you would speak in these next few moments to our hearts through your word. And I would pray that we will listen attentively, that we will listen obediently, and that your word will transform us, that your word will do a deep and an abiding work in us. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How can they hear if we don't go? And so, great song there. Appreciate the words of that this morning. This past week, a very important official in the U.S. government, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, tendered her resignation effective at the end of the year. The 2 years serving in this position, she has represented our president and our country well in various parts of the world. She's been tough, she's been firm, and yet she believes it's time to move on from that particular position. Being the UN ambassador, a pretty big position. As I think about that, though, I think that there is biblically a bigger position than being a UN ambassador. The Bible says that every believer in this congregation this morning is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every one of us. We may not go to the Philippines, we may not go to Tanzania, but we are here in Gaines, Durand, Byron, or wherever you live. If you are a born-again believer, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is at once a messenger and a representative. He or she does not speak in his own name. They do not act on their own authority. What he or she communicates is not his or her own opinions or demands, but simply what he or she has been told or commanded to say. But at the same time, he or she speaks with authority, in this case, the authority of Christ himself, because we have been called ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Just as it was a great responsibility for Nikki Haley to represent our country well, so every child of God is to represent Jesus Christ well here on this earth. Jesus has told us that we are salt and light while we are here. We have influence. And may God greatly use our influence. And it is my prayer that each and every one of us would represent our Savior well here on this earth. With that in mind, the question needs to be asked, how do we do it? Well, I want you to notice in the Word of God this morning, beginning with me at verse number 14, we represent our Savior well as ambassadors with a knowledge of a compelling motive. Notice again in verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Here the great apostle Paul, a preacher to the Jews, but primarily to the Gentiles, he had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as he did so, he said, there is a compelling motive. It was not being able to stay in some Hyatt Regency in the day. They didn't have them, by the way. It wasn't the nice Cadillacs and so forth. It wasn't anything of that nature. He says, the thing that compels me, the thing that motivates me the most to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out is the love of Christ. He says here in this verse that it is the love of Christ that constraineth us, that compels us. And when we think about the love of Christ, we think about how that in this particular verse, it says in verse number 15 that Jesus died for all. I'm so thankful for the word all. That means none are excluded. Whosoever will may come. And we find here that he says that this love of the Lord Jesus Christ is a universal love, that he had died for all. The Bible says that Jesus loved us when we were sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Word of God says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, that God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the love of God has been proven through the giving and the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, there is the great display of God's love. When you think about, praise God, that Jesus Christ is no longer on the cross. He's risen from the dead. One day he is going to come again. But with that in mind, when you go back in the scriptures, you discover that God showed us his love by the giving of his Son. And so as the Apostle Paul thought about the love of Christ, he says, you know, it is not the salary I receive or not receive. He says, it is none of that. Here is what motivates me. Here is what keeps me going from town to town. Here is what keeps me going when I am beaten for preaching the gospel and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He says, what keeps me going is I think about my Savior and his love for me and how that he died for me and suffered for me, bled for me. How can I do less than give my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? And so he says, you want to know what motivates me? You want to know what keeps me going? He says, it is the love of Christ that was shown on the cross. And we find here that he says, this is my compelling motive. And as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we too should be driven by that same compelling motive. What brought you here today? What will keep you going throughout the week? Well, I suppose you could answer that in several ways, but I trust that one that would be at top of your list is the love of Christ. I continue to serve my Lord. I continue to read his word. I continue to pray. I continue to pray for others. I continue to bear one another's burdens. I do all of this because I love the Lord. The love of Christ constrains me. It compels me. Jesus Christ asked Peter a very pointed question. Peter, do you love me? And Peter again quickly answers, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." The Lord had asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" And Peter kept responding by saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you." Then the Lord said this, "If you love me, then Peter, feed my sheep." What was he saying? "Peter, you want to prove your love to me, then serve me." Jesus said as much in John 14 and verse number 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." One of the greatest ways any person who names the name of Jesus Christ the Savior that can prove their love for God is to just be obedient to his word. Remember what Mary, the mother of Jesus, said. She said, "Whatsoever he," that is Jesus, "saith unto you, do it." And Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the ambassador of Jesus Christ has the knowledge of a compelling motive that what keeps me going in the good times, what keeps me going in the hard times, then is this love of the Lord Jesus. You understand, not just with Nikki Haley, but other ambassadors that we have in our country serving on other parts of the world, they're not in some cases on friendly turf. Our country, if you would, isn't necessarily received well in some of those countries. But having said that, those ambassadors have to continue to serve and represent our country well while there. And likewise, you and I, in a way, are on foreign soil. By that I mean this, spiritually speaking, this world is not our home, we're just passing through. And we realize this morning that the god of this world, the Bible says, is Satan. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He does what he can to keep people blinded to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as ambassadors, we are going to go out into this world and try to share with people their need of receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and why they need to receive him as Savior, because there is no remission of sin, there is no forgiveness of sin apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often Satan blinds them with thinking, "Well, I'm a good person. I may not go to church as much as others do." And by the way, going to church doesn't qualify you for heaven. Oh, come on, that's weak. Going to church doesn't qualify anyone to go to heaven. Amen? What qualifies us? We can't qualify ourselves, if you would, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is the one that makes us fit for heaven. But as we as ambassadors represent our Savior on this earth, we're going out into a world that isn't going to necessarily be receptive to the message, but we go compelled with the motivating love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he loves me, I cannot comprehend his love. For God so loved the world. Now think about this world for a moment. There are some who don't want to hear anything about the Lord, and that's their right. There are some who just don't want anything to do with church, and again, that is their right. But listen to me, you and I are to continue to go forth with that message of love and saying that God so loved you, but the only way that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time talking to a man, and as I'm going through the conversation, because I had started the conversation off by asking him, "If you died today, would you go to heaven?" He says, "No, I wouldn't." I said, "Would you mind if I share with you some scripture and to help you understand what that is all about?" He says, "No, go ahead." So I began to go through the conversation with him, and I got him down to the end, and I said, "Would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your life and to save you right now?" He says, "Is that all there is to it?" You see, for that man, up to that point, he thought, "I've got to go to church. I got to be baptized. I got to do." But in Jesus Christ, praise God, the work has already been done. The work has been done. It is complete. It is finished. And yes, that is all there is to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's simple. And yet Paul says, you don't want to know what keeps me going when I've gotten beaten, when I've gotten imprisoned? He says, this is what keeps me going. I go back to Calvary and I think about Jesus. And I think about what he did for me. That keeps me going. He represented Jesus well because of the compelling love of Christ. Secondly, an ambassador should have a knowledge of a controlling thought. Look at this now in verse 15. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here is the compelling or the controlling thought of an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Living unto him. I keep this before me, he says, that I don't live unto myself, I live unto him. My life is consumed with the Lord. He lived out what Jesus taught. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. Paul, who is first in your life? It's Jesus. I'm living my life unto him. I'm controlled by him. I live him out, if you would, in my daily living. For Paul, this was his controlling thought. And church, is this your controlling thought? Living unto him. John 12 and verse 24, Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus said in John 15, 5, for without me ye can do nothing. And in Galatians 2, 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ. For the Apostle Paul, that was the controlling thought. Do I go to this town? Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to preach? He was just constantly, if you would, living his life consumed with the person of Jesus Christ. A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out to port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew. They knew they'd never return home. One such missionary by the name of A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries, and he set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific. Knowing full well the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary, every one of them, before he got there. He did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. His coffin was packed, and for 35 years he lived among that tribe and loved them. When he died, tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone, quote, when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Why? Because there, he said, there is a controlling thought in my life. I'm dying to myself, and I'm living unto him. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, are we possessed with that controlling thought, living unto him? Here we find in this context that the Apostle Paul says that the one that died for us is worthy enough for us to live for. But then notice, if you would, an ambassador's knowledge of a caring ministry. You see, we find that if we are to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we need to possess this knowledge as well. the knowledge of a caring ministry. Look at verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has then given to his children, to those who are saved, he says, I've given to you a ministry. It is the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we may not all go to the Philippines, though I would guarantee you that Christopher Ivey would say, come over to the Philippines and help us. 106 million people, who many of them have never heard the gospel. To be sure, there is a great need in the Philippines. But in Gaines Township, there is a great need. In Duran, there is a great need. In Byron, there is a great need. Wherever you come from this morning, there are people in your township, in your town, in your city, who need the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then, because of that, you, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, are to be possessed with the knowledge of a caring ministry. Because God has planted you specifically where you are to reach precious souls for him. And we find in this context, he says, that this ministry has been granted, a ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is defined for us in verse number 19, where he says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now think about this, church. Contrary to what some think, we don't serve a God sitting in heaven waiting to damn people to hell. Aren't you glad of that? We don't have a God sitting in heaven waiting just to, you know, his creation and damn us to hell. No, he so loved us that God was in Christ reconciling man unto himself. Because you remember when God created the first man, Adam, and then he created Eve, they at that point knew no sin. Sin had not entered into the world. God had said, help yourself to anything in the garden except one thing. Well, sadly, they partook, and ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, even way back in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 3 and chapter 15, God gave a promise that one day that Satan's head would be bruised, and that one day Jesus Christ would come. He would come born of a virgin. But he would come with a purpose in mind to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, when Adam and Eve fell, there was one big thing that interfered in our relationship with God, and it's called sin. What was man to do with this sin? What could man do? Well, God knew that there needed to be a pure lamb, and that was Jesus Christ, who would come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. In other words, God moved toward man in love to reconcile them back so that we could be back in harmony again. And Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, said, it is finished. Praise God, I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I work because I am saved. I serve him because I am saved. But praise God, I don't have to work to get my way to heaven. He's already made that way possible. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing, the Bible says, their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, that is, a word that is, he deposited this responsibility into our care. He has deposited the work, the word of reconciliation. So verse 20, look at this now. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. That word pray, I do believe Paul prayed for people to be saved. I know he did. But that word pray has the meaning of begging. We beg you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So the ambassador of Jesus Christ has the knowledge of a caring ministry. They've been given a ministry of reconciliation. Think about that great responsibility. The ministry of reconciliation. Oftentimes when you think about reconciliation, you think about marriages. Sometimes you think about some work relationships and there has to come in a mediator and try to bring the parties together in reconciliation. But you and I have been given a ministry from God to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Because we care. We'll walk out of this building here in a few moments. And today you're going to run into people who, some of them do not know Jesus. Some of you may go to a restaurant. May I encourage you to leave a track? May I encourage you to do what one of my preacher friends does when the waitress brings the meal. Before she can get away, he will ask him or her, he says, it's my practice to pray for my food and give thanks for it. He says, but before I pray, I wonder, is there anything or any need that you would like me to pray for you about? Now, you may or may not do that, but the point is, we need to be so burdened that we pray that God would open up doors of opportunity for us to tell others of Jesus. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. John Currier was found guilty of murder in 1949 and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, his sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. 10 years went by, and then a state parole officer learned about his plight, found him, and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. Christians, this morning, you and I have been entrusted with the most important message in the world. Let's not fail to deliver the message. Let's tell others of Jesus and represent Jesus well as His ambassadors while we're here. Because we are those ambassadors. So I ask you, how are you doing as an ambassador of Jesus? Are you representing Him well with compelling love? Are you representing Him well with sold out dedication like those missionaries who put all their possessions in that coffin and said, we're not coming back, we are the Lord's, we are going to serve Him no matter what. Willing to die if need be on that mission field, but we believe with all of our hearts that our Savior is worth following. We are selling our lives out to Him. Ambassadors, are you representing Him well with passion and purpose to reach the lost? I think about how, as I mentioned this earlier in the message, that God so loved us that He gave us His Son. Now just stop and think about this for a moment. I want to ask a question that I ask. I don't even keep track, but I know I've asked this question hundreds of times. For some of you, you will be immediately able to say, yes, I know, and you can go back to a place and time and so forth. Let me ask you the question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Some of you can say amen. Some of you can say that was certainty, not because you belong to this church, not because you were baptized, but because there was a time when you acknowledged, I am a sinner. I have no way of having my sins forgiven on my own. But I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. I believe that I am a sinner. And you turn from your sin. And on that particular day, for whatever day it was for you, you've heard my testimony as a 9-year-old boy. And from that day to now the age of 58, I know that I know that I know. If I drop dead in front of you, I'm on my way to heaven. You know, that knowledge gives you such peace, does it not? I remember just a couple of years ago when I had open heart surgery. Some asked me, are you worried? I wasn't worried. I was concerned, mainly for my wife and my family. You never know when they cut your chest open what's going to happen. Praise the Lord, God brought me through. But I never worried, and here's why. Because I figured on October 22nd, 2015, when they rolled me in that operating room, if that was my last day on earth, I would wake up in glory and be with my Savior. Now, not that I wanted to die, please don't get me wrong, but I had no cause to worry. Because I know who the keeper of my soul is. And I tell you this morning that when you have this knowledge, it gives you such peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Do you have that? Do you have and have you made peace with God? Have you come to that place in your life where you cried out and say, Lord, save me? If not today, won't you come and cry out and say, Lord, save me? Because He's finished the work. When we think about this whole matter of being an ambassador, boy, Jesus Christ was the heavenly ambassador. He represented His Father well, so well that He said this while He was on earth. I do always those things that please Him. Oh, I wish I could say that, but I know I can't say that. I don't think there's probably any Christian here that can say this morning, you have done always those things that please your Heavenly Father, but Jesus could. He represented His Father well on earth. We are ambassadors. Let's go, because there's 106 million people in the Philippines that need Jesus. Let's go because there's 7 billion people, now over 7 billion people on planet Earth. Many of them have never heard the gospel. This answers the big why. Because these souls stand before us, headed who knows where. And they today need to hear that God so loved them that they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's represent Jesus well as His ambassadors. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and we'll not have any music at this moment, but I wonder this morning if there would be some here who would say, Pastor, I do not know. You asked the question, if I died today, would I go to heaven? I don't know. I want to know. I really do. If that's you this morning, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I'm not going to come to you. But I just want to have an opportunity to remember you in prayer. But I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here who'd say, Pastor, I do not know if I die to go to heaven, but I really do want to know. If that's you, would you raise your hand up wherever you're at? Say, that's my need. That's me. I want to know, because I realize I'm not going to live forever in this life, but I really do want to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to know if I die to go to heaven. I don't know it, but I want to know. If that's your need, would you raise your hand up? I'll acknowledge you. You put it right back down while we wait. Anybody at all while we wait. So yes, Pastor, that's my need. I wonder this morning there'd be those here who say, Pastor, praise God. I can lift my hand and say, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved my soul. It may have been recently. It may have been years ago. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Savior. If you can say that, would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Because you know that, then, you have a great responsibility. I have a great responsibility. Are you representing Jesus well? Are you representing Him well in your workplace, in your school? Are you representing Him well in your neighborhood? Are you representing Him well wherever you go? Because people are watching us. But what's the knowledge we need to have? The knowledge of a compelling love. That's why we do it. The knowledge of a compelling, controlling thought. I'm living unto Him. My life is sold out to Him. Is that where you are presently in your life? Brother Christopher this morning in the Sunday school hour talked about the wrestling in the spirit of his wife about whether she should go to the Philippines. And that may be where you're at. God's just dealing in your heart about obeying Him in an area, and you're wrestling with Him. Today, won't you say, I surrender all. No more wrestling. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do what He's leading me to do. And today, as an ambassador, do you care for others? Others, they're all around us. We have a responsibility to tell them. And now, Father, help us today as your ambassadors to represent you well here on earth. Help us to do it with a great motivation because we love you. Help us to do it because we are striving to live lives yielded to you daily. And help us to do it with the knowledge that we care for souls. We care for others. Help us to go and tell. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going.